Welcome to Deep Rooted Healing, a contemplative podcast exploring the healing bridges that connect the body, mind, heart, and soul, including creative practices, touch, nature, spirituality, and community. I'm Emma Freeman, an artist, poet, massage therapist, and Reiki practitioner. I'm a highly sensitive person and sober. This podcast is a record of my own unfolding spiritual journey. And may it be supportive for you in some way. I'm so glad you're here. Hello. Today I want to share why I bury books in the earth, because I've had some questions from people about that part of my art practice, and I thought, well, the easiest way to share why I do this is in this form, in storytelling form. So here we go. So for anyone who does not know, I have been making these fabric meditation books for about 2.5 years now. And I make them out of scraps of fabric, a lot of old vintage fabrics from Japan and from Africa, and bits of fibers like yarn from around the world that I discover, and I do slow stitching in them. It's very meditative and grounding and very, very, very healing for me. And I incorporate stones and birch bark and sea glass. And this whole process emerged for me intuitively after my life went through a big transition 3 years ago that I've talked about before on the podcast. But in a nutshell, it was at the beginning of COVID, and I had to close down a business that I was running. I was running a shop in a community art space, and I had to close that down. I got divorced, and I had to move out of my home and move back in with my parents in a different state, all within the span of a few weeks. And it was this huge, tumultuous series of changes. And I went from running 3 businesses, totally burned out all the time, frantic, anxious, overwhelmed, to sitting still in my bedroom that I had as a teenager, and sitting at a little table that I'm sitting at right now, looking out at the trees. The house is surrounded by woods and is near a lake. And I just sat here every day for years. I mean, my life went from moving really fast to suddenly moving extremely slowly. And I went from living in a city to living in the country. And all of this, I know now what absolutely needed to happen, and I'm so grateful for it, because it plopped me down into the space of stillness and solitude that I never would have chosen for myself, but I desperately needed. And as I sat here, all kinds of things started to happen. All kinds of things started to bubble up out of me to get my attention. And I started to do this deep, deep healing work, which I had been doing for about 5 years before I landed here. So I'd started this deep healing journey 5 years before, started going to therapy and doing all this deep inner work for the first time. So this really was a continuation of that work, but to a whole nother level. And one of the things that happened one day when I was sitting here, I was playing around with art materials and had this linen curtain. I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. I was just kind of holding it and decided to cut it up. And I started to cut the part where the curtain rod goes through. And I pulled it apart and noticed a book structure, or what looked like a book structure to me, inside of that, because there was a piece of lining. And the first thought was, that's a book. And I thought, what could I do with that? I hadn't been stitching at all. I hadn't been making books. And something told me to get a needle and thread and start to stitch. And so I did. And that was the beginning of making what I now call fabric meditation books. And they've become this such an important healing process for me, because as my hands move and hold the soft fabric and slowly stitch, things are moving and clearing inside of me, and it opens up the space for me to reflect and to notice and to cry and release, and new insights come. And it's really this incredible, gentle practice and a gentle container for me to unravel, to deeply unravel knots inside of me. And so the process continued to evolve over, it has continued to evolve over the last 2.5 years since that first book that I made with the curtain. And one of the things that happened was this intuitive nudge one day, again, when I was sitting here, I was looking out the window at the trees, working on one of my books, and I heard, "Bury it." And I was like, "What? Bury it." It was so clear. "Bury it." And I thought, that's interesting. Bury it. Huh. What would happen if I, why would I bury, what would happen? You know, I sort of rattled that question around in my mind and didn't go out and do it right away. But within a week of that message, hearing that thought, intuitive message, whatever that was, I was at a little bookstore in the town where I live, and I was in the Eastern religion section, just wandering around, picking up books that kind of caught my attention, not looking for anything in particular. And I saw the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which I had never read before, but I had heard of. And for some reason, I felt like I should pick it up. So I picked it up and I flipped through it. And one of the first pages I flipped to, I'm going to read it to you. There was a passage. It's in the foreword. It's on the first, within, it's the second paragraph of the foreword. It says, it's talking about this specific Tibetan Buddhist person. So I think Padmasambhava is the name. Padmasambhava buried these texts. Okay, hold on. So I'm trying to think, how much context do I give? So it's talking about, I'm just going to read this. Hopefully it'll make sense. Okay. So this person, Padmasambhava, buried these texts, these sacred texts, in the Gampo Hills in central Tibet, where later the great teacher Gampapa established his monastery. Many other texts and sacred objects were buried in this way in different places throughout Tibet and are known as terma, or quote, hidden treasures. Padmasambhava gave the transmission of power to discover the termas to his 25 chief disciples. The Bardo texts were later discovered by Karma Lingpa, who was an incarnation of one of these disciples. So I read this and immediately I feel goosebumps, because this line, many other texts and sacred objects were buried in this way in different places throughout Tibet and are known as terma, or hidden treasures. I immediately was like, oh, like it, something connected that line to what I heard, bury it. And I'd never heard of this term, this word terma, T-E-R-M-A. And there was something in me that just knew then subtly, like, there was a deeper reason why I needed to bury these books in the earth. And so without being able to really fully name that or know why, it was an intuition. Again, it was just a very clear feeling that I needed to do it. So I went home from the bookstore. Well, I bought the book. And then I went home from the bookstore and I came into my bedroom where my little art table is. And I chose one of my fabric meditation books. And I took it outside and I found a spot in my yard and I dug up a hole and I put the book in the ground and I put the dirt back over it. And I knew in that moment that I needed to leave it for 30 days. that was also intuition. I had no idea why. I just got the clear feeling, leave it for 30 days. And so I did. So I left it there. I put a little rock on top so I could find it again. And it stayed in the ground for 30 days. And I was curious while it was underground, you know, at different points, what was happening down there? You know, what was the earth doing to it? What was the book going to look like when I dug it back up? But I had no desire to dig it up early, which I found interesting because in the past, I've been a very impulsive person, a very like quick, immediate satisfaction kind of person. And there was something happening. I don't know. I just knew that I needed to leave it. And so I did. And then I went out and dug it up on the 30th day. And when I looked at the book, this whole process, like there's this indescribable feeling that like this deep returning to this intimate connection with the healing energy of the earth that was happening, that continues to happen, that I've been guided to, pulled to through this process. And so I dig up the book and I flip through it and it has all of this new energy. The earth contributed, collaborated with me, and it added to it. And I felt alive. I felt this inspiration and connection that I couldn't put into words. And so I decided to bury other books. And now I've buried many at this point. But the second time, I decided to bury two books. And so one of them, I actually buried that first one again, and then buried another one alongside of it. And again, left it for 30 days, or had intended to. But then it was pouring down rain on like the 27th day, pouring like heavy, heavy rain. And something told me to go out and dig it up. And so I went outside that day without a raincoat, without an umbrella. I went barefoot, which I never did. Like up until this point, you know, I was so accustomed to protecting myself from the rain. So, you know, like running from here to there, making sure I'm covered and protected. And something told me to just go out there like with no protection and literally barefoot and walk across the grass to the spot. And so I'm walking, I'm getting drenched in rain, and it smelled so good outside, and the sound of the rain and the trees, and it felt so healing before I even got to the spot to dig up the books. So I dug them up and flipped through them, and as I'm flipping through them, they're covered in dirt, and the water, the raindrops are dripping onto the book as I'm holding it and flipping through it. And the water, all the rain is like dripping down my face. I'm soaking wet. And I started to wonder, like, how do I want to wash these off? And the first thought was I could take them inside and wash them under the sink. And I immediately got a no, that's not right. And I thought, well, what else could I do? I could use a hose, I guess. That felt like a no. And then I was walking like through the yard back to the front door, and I noticed in our side yard, there was a big puddle of water. And immediately I was like, or I heard, I felt, I don't know, wash it in the puddle. And it was underneath this beautiful willow tree. And so I walked over there and waded into, there's probably like 3 inches of water in the grass under this tree. And I walked in there barefoot, and I leaned over and put the books in the water and started to just gently move them around. And immediately I started to cry. And it was this, it was this incredibly healing, profound moment of, it was like I was returning to something that I had lost, that I didn't even know I had lost. This connection this soul connection to the earth. There was something happening that felt like medicine, soul medicine, that I had been deeply detached from for so long, for all of my life, maybe. I don't know, there's something. And I stood there and I kept washing the books, and my tears were like dropping into the rainwater, which was beautiful. And this is all happening silently, just me by myself with the trees and the water and the books. And then I brought them inside and I let them dry for a day. And then I started to sit with them. And there was this energy within them that I was drawn to, just this pull, this magnetic pull to them. Like they went from being so clean and pristine to having this depth and this richness, but it went so beyond the aesthetic. It wasn't just about the look of them, like how they appeared. There was an energy that I could feel. It was very subtle. It still is. It's very subtle, but I could feel it. It's this healing energy and this there's a sacredness that I can feel with them. And I started to realize then, you know, continued to bury them and sit with the books, and they started to teach me. They started to be mirrors for me, reveal things back to me. And one of those things was that I, up until the point of making these books, I had been so focused on, as an artist, making things to express myself, to share who I was with the world, to share my identity or what I cared about or what I was inspired by. It was very focused on me as a person and expressing that with the world. And this process, the books taught me and revealed to me that I was now collaborating with all of these different beings and energies to create together. We were co-creating. It was not and it is not now me as the sole creator of this thing. It's the earth and all of the energies of the earth and the rainwater and the earthworms and the mycelium under the ground and all of the linen plants that grew and someone tended to and then harvested and spun and wove to create the fabric, and the indigo that someone grew and tended to, and that the sun and the water nurtured over slowly over time, and then someone nurtured the indigo bath and created, then dipped fabric into it very carefully and lovingly and created this fabric with it. And then that lived its own life in Japan or Africa. And then slowly somehow I found it. And then I'm connecting with those people and those plants and those elements and the threads and the fibers and all of these components, all of these different things that are happening inside of this book. I started to feel, and the stones, like all of this, like the sense of collaboration and co-creation just woke up in me and revealed itself to me and taught me. And it felt like this incredibly transformative moment for me and the way that I think about art making now in my life. And also the process has taught me how incredibly healing art making can be, that I was guided to create these books because I deeply, desperately needed it. I needed the meditation of it. I needed the soothing qualities of it. I needed the gentleness, and I needed the spaciousness that it created in order for me to do the deep inner work that I needed to do, that I didn't even know I needed to do. But as my hands moved, you know, like I said, with the stitching or with the starting, you know, like wrapping thread around something or whatever I was doing in these books, my hands would be moving, and then something, a memory would bubble up in my mind, or an insight, or something, some connection would be made, or something would release itself inside of me. And because I committed to this practice, because it was so powerful for me, now that it's been 2.5 years of doing this, it's just gotten deeper and deeper. And it's allowed me to really transform and let go of so much that I didn't even know was blocking me. It was like stagnant energy inside of me, and so much wrapped around my heart that I didn't even know was there. And then I started to realize, not even probably in the last year, again, the book and the process, the bookmaking process, revealing this and teaching this to me, that what was happening for me while making these books was really digging inside of myself and unearthing these buried parts of myself, these buried treasures that I didn't even know, or these buried fragments that needed my attention, that were calling for my attention. They needed to come up into the light of my awareness, of my attention, of my care, my love. And I didn't know that. And the process walked me through that. And then it was mirrored in the burying of the books, being intuitively led to bury the books and then dig them back up. And that connection between what was going on inside of me and what was happening with the art process blew me away, because it was not a conscious choice. It was not a logical choice. Like, I'm going to sit down and make these books inspired by my inner psychological, spiritual work. It was not that at all. It was these little whispers, these little nudges to take one step in this direction, to do this little thing. And I don't know why. I don't know why I'm being led to do this, but I feel like I need to do this. And trusting those tiny little steps. And then farther down that, way farther down that path, literally years later, these insights, like, oh my gosh, this is why I needed to be burying these books. This is the deeper meaning of this process. And that all feels like magic to me, and has taught me how important it is for me to listen to and trust those intuitive whispers or those intuitive feelings. And when they show up and I don't know why, and they're not logical, and maybe they're sending me in a different direction than I thought I was going, and how tempting it's been in my life to follow the logic, follow the plan, follow the thing that I think I'm supposed to do. And this whole process of making these books has taught me again and again to listen to those whispers, because there's a purpose. There's a deeper purpose to them. There's a soul purpose to them. That if I trust them and follow them, they're going to lead me somewhere that I need to go, but I have to be willing to surrender to that and let go of control and let go of the knowing. And that's really, really hard. And for me, that's where a lot of the Buddhist practices help me so much. In particular, the not knowing mind, or beginner's mind. I return to that as a mantra so often in my life now and with my art, in all situations. But when that voice wants to tell me to stay on the plan, and, oh, but what's going to happen if I go down this other road that I've never been down, and what are people going to think, or, you know, any of those kinds of thoughts come up, I just gently say to myself, beginner's mind, not knowing mind. And that creates this little window, a little opening, a little softness. And then if I can cultivate the courage in that moment to just take one tiny step. And not even, sometimes it doesn't even feel like a step. It feels like if I just allow that force that's naturally flowing inside of me that wants to move me in the direction I need to go, if I can just stop resisting that and just float there, let it move me like I'm in a river, like the flow, the current wants to guide me where it needs to go. If I just stop resisting that, it'll take me where I need to go. And that's a huge life lesson for me that I continue to practice. And but it, again, it really has completely transformed my whole experience of art making, and then the tangible things that come out of the art making process. So that is why and how I started burying books. And at some point along the way, I wanted to invite other people to participate. So that started out by posting one day on Instagram and asking people, I was curious, like, could I send a book to someone else in the world and would they bury it for me? Because that sounded amazing. And so I put it out there having, again, no idea what the response would be. And I was amazed. People reached out from all over the world saying, I'll bury one for you. Please, yes, send me a book. I'll bury it. And I ended up sending books, one to a woman who lives in a rainforest in Canada. And she buried one under this gorgeous ancient redwood tree and washed it in the stream. And she was walking with her dog when she did. It was so incredible. And shared pictures of the process and then mailed the book back to me. And I've sent a book to Australia and Vermont and Hawaii and different places in the South. Like, just, I was absolutely amazed. And then after I started to do that, I think some people wanted to join in. And so they started to make their own books and bury them. And then I created, inspired by that, I created this open project called the Buried Earth Book Project. So anyone can participate. Lots of people have participated from around the world now, which is so beautiful. And so they make a fabric book. They can follow along. If they're not sure how to do it, they can watch my online class on making the fabric meditation books, or they can just wing it and go for it and use whatever materials they want. And then they pick a spot to bury it, whatever calls to them. And they choose the length of time. They can do it for 30 days like I do, if that feels right, or whatever. And then they dig it up. And if they want to, they share images on Instagram of them. And I invite people to send me photos and reflections because I really want to hear about their experience. And oh my gosh, what people have created and shared and discovered through the experience is so healing and so beautiful. So it's just taken on this, again, it's guiding me. And I love sharing the process with other people because if it speaks to someone, I think there's a reason for that. And there's full permission with it to make it anyone can make it their own. They can adapt it and change it and alter it. Like, it's, there are no rules. It's really just a gentle invitation to something that could be healing and connecting with the earth and connecting with a deeper part of our creative spirit and healing in some way that may be surprising and may move things around inside of us that we didn't even know needed to move to create more peace and more love and more joy and more depth. So that's the story of the buried books. And I'll put a link. You can learn more about the Buried Earth Book Project if you're curious, if you might want to play along, on my website, creativeunearthing.com, under community projects. And you can also see a gallery of images of my buried books on my website if you're curious about those. And the last thing I just wanted to share were a few quotes from a book that connect, kind of summarize all of this together for me. And it's an amazing book called, let me just double check the title. It's called Art Heals, How Creativity Cures the Soul by Sean McNiff, who is an art therapist. And I read this book, last year, I think, and blew me away. So good. So these quotes really connect to this process for me. One is, the making of art is healing and life enhancing. Yes. So simple and so deep. And I find that to be true. And then this one, I have consistently discovered that the core process of healing through art involves the cultivation and release of the creative spirit. If we can liberate the creative process in our lives, it will always find the way to whatever needs attention and transformation. The challenge, then, is first to free our creativity and then to sustain it as a discipline practice. Isn't that so? Yeah, I read that. I was like, yes, that's exactly how I feel about making these books. That discipline is so important, but also that waking up of the creativity and then letting that creative force guide me. It's going to show me where it needs to go. I don't need to lead it. I don't need to be the one in charge. I can participate in it and be an active participant, but I'm not the one in charge. That force will show me what I need. And that's magic. And let's see. Last but not least, one more quote from this amazing book. It says, "Art adapts to every conceivable problem and lends its transformative, insightful, and experience-heightening powers to people in need. Many of us explore the healing power of art on our own, while others do it with the guidance and in the safety of therapeutic relationships. The medicines of art are not confined within fixed borders. Wherever the soul is in need, art presents itself as a resourceful healer." Oh, it's so good. I get goosebumps reading that one. Yes. "Wherever the soul is in need, art presents itself as a resourceful healer." Isn't that beautiful? So I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you want to learn more about the Fabric Meditation books and the Buried Earth Book Project, you can go to my website, creativeunearthing.com. Or if you're on Instagram and you want to see what other people have made from that project, if you look under the hashtag Buried Earth Book Project, you'll see a whole bunch of posts there that are really fun. So, all right, thank you so much for listening. Bye for now.